Professor Anita Hill wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times saying the Senate judiciary has a chance to do better by the country than it did nearly three decades ago. That's when she testified before the United States Senate Judiciary Committee on the confirmation of Judge Clarence Thomas. She says it's impossible to miss the parallels between the Kavanaugh confirmation hearing of 2018 and the 1991 confirmation hearing for Justice Clarence Thomas. Back in 1991, the Senate Judiciary Committee had an opportunity, she says, to demonstrate its appreciation for both the seriousness of sexual harassment claims and the need for public confidence in the character of a nominee to the Supreme Court. It failed on both counts, says Hill. We turn now to the Pacifica Archives, picking up an excerpt from the 1991 hearings after an affidavit by John Doggett smearing Professor Hill. Here's Pacifica Radio's Jeanette Pinkney and Gail Christian.
There's a final paragraph that really is the clincher. This is John N. Doggett III in his signed and sworn affidavit. He says, It was my opinion at the time, and is my opinion now, that Ms. Hill's fantasies about my sexual interest in her were an indication of the fact that she was having a problem with, quote, being rejected, unquote, by men she was attracted to. Her statements and actions in my presence during the time when she alleges that Clarence Thomas harassed her were totally inconsistent with her current descriptions and are, in my opinion, yet another example of her ability to fabricate the idea that someone was interested in her when, in fact, no such interest existed. Clearly what's going on here is that this is an attempt to paint her, to paint Professor Hill as a woman who was of a mind to think there was more than there was, who was perhaps somewhat a little unstable or unclear about communications between men and women. And in fact, in saying that she was in a period where she felt she was, well, she's painted one as a climber, that she wanted to be part of this yes. inner circle, and also as someone who was having a problem with being rejected by men. So this, it seems, is an attempt to perhaps explain why she might have, and in fact he says that this is an example of her ability to fabricate the idea that someone was interested in her. But again, there's a big difference in having, even if she did have an unclear idea of someone's interest yes. in her and someone describing the size of their sexual organs and what they'd like to do with them.
Are two very different things. I think now let's go back and listen to some of her testimony from the afternoon session. At one point, I think, in her conversations with one of the Republican senators, she was trying to explain that she thought that she had made it clear to Clarence Thomas that she was not interested in his advances.
And not desired by me. I believe that the conversations about sex and the constant pressuring about dating, which I objected to, both of which I objected to, were basis. There was enough for him to understand that I was unappreciative and did not desire this kind of attention in the workplace. I think that my constantly saying to him that I was afraid of, because he was in a supervisory position, that this would jeopardize my ability to do my job, that should have given him notice.
It was brought up that sexual harassment cases have a six-month limitation, and the fact that she has waited nearly 10 years, and the question was asked, why didn't she bring all of this up sooner and move to do something about Judge Thomas then?
I'm not a person, I was not interested in any litigation. I was not interested. If I had been dismissed, very likely I would have just gone out and tried to find another job. I was not interested in filing a claim against him, and perhaps that's why it did not occur to me to make notes about it.
Well, I'm not on the point of your being interested in making a claim. What I am on the point of is your statement that you were concerned that he might take retaliatory action against you, and therefore the inference arises that the notes would have been something which would have been done by an experienced lawyer.
One of the things that I did do at that time was to document my work. I went through very meticulously with every assignment that I was given. This was this really was in response to the concerns that I had about being fired. I went through, I logged in every work assignment that I received, the date that it was received, the action that was requested, the action that I took on it, the date that it went out. So I did do that in order to protect myself.
Anita Hill, back in 1991, testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee into the nomination of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court. Thomas won confirmation by a vote of 52-48, with 11 Democrats supporting him in a Senate they controlled. But on both sides of the aisle, there was wide agreement that the questioning of Thomas and Hill was not the Senate Judiciary Committee's finest hour. For one thing, the committee was made up of 14 white men, and there were only two women in the entire Senate at the time. By comparison, the current committee has 11 Republicans, all men, and 10 Democrats, four of whom are women. Overall, there are now 23 women in the Senate, 17 Democrats and 6 Republicans. Coming just a year before the 1992 presidential and congressional elections, the hearings were credited with helping spur the first year of the woman in American politics. A half dozen women won Senate races that year and early in 1993. One of them, Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, said recently on Twitter that she first ran for the Senate after, along with her daughter, she watched the Anita Hill hearings and watched Hill being grilled by an all-male Judiciary Committee, which didn't look anything like her or her daughter or so many others across the country, and that they weren't asking the questions so many wanted asked. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.